This is a 36-yarder to win it. Young man from Klein, Texas. Snap, set, kick. Got it!
Yes!
How about these Titans?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
The impossible situation, possible. Everybody said it couldn't happen, and it happened. Overcoming their own mistakes and finding a way to get to 1-1 and beat Seattle in Seattle. How about that?
Yeah, that was a thing. What's happening, J-Mart and Ramon? The Titans are the 1-52-1. The Seahawks were 52-0, went up by 15 points or more at home. Yesterday, the Titans became the fly in that ointment and come back to Nashville 1-1 with the dreaded Colts. Next on the docket, it's J. Martin Ramon here on this Monday. We did it last week. We'll do it again. 615-737-1045. That's the telephone number. A lot of times on Mondays, we know you guys want to react. We want to chat with you. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to load up guests all day. We're going to give you an opportunity to speak. We have plenty to say. Obviously, by we, I mean 11-year NFL veteran involved for life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer, Jason Martin, at Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at JMart Radio, at JMart and Ramon. And guests will appear via the Mark Spann Real Estate Hotline. Kayla Anderson, Auntie Kayla, will join us a little bit later on in the program today.
Nothing better, Jay.
Yeah, nothing better.
Nothing better than getting a West Coast win.
Nothing better than making that trip. And this is what, look, we said this last week. I think a lot of people kind of did. There's a real week-to-week nature of this league. I mean, look at what you saw yesterday with the Titans doing what they did against Seattle, with the Saints after what they did to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Pretty much just getting bludgeoned by the now 2-0 Carolina Panthers, the Raiders,
Kansas City, and what they
were able to do. The Ravens coming back off a tough loss 6 days later and finding a way to beat Kansas City last night in a fantastic primetime football game. Rookie quarterbacks doing their thing, but a lot of times when you start to get behind a team and feel like you understand something, you might not.
You don't understand.
You might not.
I think mentioning Arizona pulling off what they did against Minnesota, that was insane. The young wide receiver, it was awesome by him. Big weekend, man. Again, every primetime game, Jay, I think to a T, has been a cannot fall asleep game.
It has. See, that's the thing. Let's let you in on something real fast, and then we're going to jump right on into what happened in Seattle. Most of the Sunday night, Monday night games, the three of us are not watching till the end. We just can't. Like, we wouldn't be good at all for you the next day if we're up till midnight the night before. There will be games that we do when we get sucked into them.
Yeah.
Last night, I couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
Last night I watched until the very bitter end of that game. And the same thing happened on Monday Night Football and last Sunday night. I think tonight we can probably go to bed earlier.
You say that. And
I know.
you say that and you never
know. I just don't see a universe in which the Detroit Lions are going to push the Green Bay Packers. But the Tennessee Titans, with their backs against the wall.
Yeah.
Always play their best when people aren't expecting much.
I'm starting. I told y'all yesterday in the chat.
It's a backhanded compliment because it's not. You can't do that if you want to win a Super Bowl.
I know, but say Caesars, Vegas, MGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, like put them all underdogs. Like I was at first. I was like, okay, this is a cliche, Jay. I'm just talking about the whole list of, like the whole horoscope of what the Titans are. Titans fans, I've heard you say this. I've heard people close to us say they play better as underdog. You guys have told me this. I'm talking about avid, like, Titans fans that said, we do better with our back against the wall. You know what I say? Yeah, whatever. And lo and behold, Seattle and all of its elements, everything that you needed from Seattle yesterday, they gave it to you. Crowd, turnovers, big plays, rust. We saw all of that. And what did the boys in blue do? Close out.
Yeah, they did. And there's a lot of different storylines in the game.
God.
Broken coverage, busted coverage.
Broken.
Not handling well at all.
Can we say
Russ's
this?
Russ's deep ball.
Broken team.
Yeah.
Injuries.
Yeah.
This OL.
Yeah.
I mean, dog.
The one didn't even get out there to attempt to change the discussion about him from the last week because he got injured in warmups. So he's not out there. The offensive line seems to be pieced together like it's the last few things you've got left in your refrigerator. It's not a meal you should make, but you haven't made it to the store. So you're like, I'm going to go grab this chicken right here. And then how about some pot roast from over here? Because we don't have enough of this left over.
And we got some crackers in there?
Yeah.
We got Kool-Aid, but barely enough sugar.
Yeah, like just random stuff. So we need to clean out the refrigerator. This meal might make you sick. Hey, we're going to drink orange juice tonight. We got one more day before it expires.
You're describing my family right now, Jay. I got to get to the bottom of the deep freezer, dog.
Yeah.
No lie. Last year, the pandemic, guess what your boy did?
Yeah.
Stocked up on
meat. We all did. I had so many chicken breasts.
Yeah.
It was out of control.
That's what the Titans cover. That's what the O-line is like right now.
It does. It is piecemeal. There's no question about that.
Piecemeal.
But
God.
Julio, who needed to... He just needed to, I think, calm the nerves of a few Titans fans out there.
That's right here, Jay.
Did it exactly what he needed to do.
I know we're on radio, but I'm pushing my middle finger, my index, and my thumb together doing the old woosah.
Yeah.
That's what the Titans fans needed yesterday, Jay. 100% right there.
And they got it. 6 grabs, 128 yards. He played very well. He seemed active. He seemed engaged. I felt like it was going to be a good day for Julio when I saw him and AJ talking before the game. They caught it on the sidelines. The CBS cameras caught it. And he had a smile on his face and he was talking to AJ and AJ was talking back to him. It just had this feel where it looked like he was ready to play football.
Mm-hmm.
And he was. And he looked good and Tannehill found him. Tannehill played within himself. I mean, Tannehill didn't throw a touchdown yesterday. But they still won the game because I know we haven't talked about the obvious. But Derrick Henry, second half, attrition back. They kept giving him the ball. I still don't like him giving the ball on first down early in that game. But 35 carries for 182 yards and then 6 receptions for another 55.
That's,
he has, what, 238 yards?
That part. The second
44
part
touches.
It's what we heard about all offseason, was it not? That what was it again? 6 for 55?
Yep.
6 targets. Caught everything coming his way. And there was a few of those times Tannehill like drilled it into his chest with a defender on him and he caught it. Over the middle when he snuck out late, it was for a guy that's known for 182 yards, Jay, it was impressive to see him get involved in the pass game.
Oh, it was. It absolutely was. Again, you can load up a phone line, 615-737-1045. I see we've already got several calls on the line. We're going to run through them, or we're going to start running through them. I have a feeling we're going to be talking to a lot of you today. This was a win that you had to have, except that the one next week is the one you really have to have. But it helps that the Colts lost Carson Wentz late in that game. Easton immediately comes in, throws an interception. They lose to the Rams, so you know before you kick off that they're 0-2. You also know that Houston and Jacksonville aren't good. Houston's playing hard. I'll give them credit. They're playing hard. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised at how hard they're playing, but you kick off, you know, okay, well, it could be 0-2 versus 0-2, but we already knew. If there was one you could have lost, it would be this one more than next week, but you really wanted to win this one because of how bad the week one performance made you feel last week. So you're in it until the end. You find a way back after. We're going to talk about the officiating when we come back.
Matter of fact,
that's the tease. But we've got Josh, we got Eric, we got Billy, we got two more ringing right now. Go ahead and load them up. 615-737-1045. So much to digest from what we saw yesterday out in the West Coast in the Pacific Northwest, and that's what we're going to do with you until 10 a.m. Nobody does it better than the Zone all day today for your coverage. Hit us up. I see a ton of people already in YouTube, Twitch, Facebook Live. Zone TV is rocking. We're rocking on a Monday. We'll be right back. It is Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Wilson, under pressure, flushed up, being chased in the end zone. Adeyemi grabs him in the end zone.
Safety.
If it's a safety, it's over. They'll call his forward progress down at the 1.
Spoiler alert,
man.
That was a safety. Not called as such. Not reviewable because it was forward progress.
Uh-oh.
Man, look, it was almost like the NFL was trying to give Seattle the attaboy and the we're sorry for the Super Bowl officiating against the Steelers so many years ago.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
Because it was atrocious, and even Steelers fans know it. Horrible. But this was bad. Like, officiating as a whole was bad yesterday. The taunting penalties are just the worst.
It's kiddie.
It's just dumb. It's corny.
Ticky-tack. Like,
vertical eating corn.
Vertical.
That's taunting, man. Corn. Eating corn long ways. These taunting penalties. But,
oh, my God.
God, yeah. The officiating was terrible. The Julio play in the back of the end zone, if he was out, okay? I'm not suggesting it's not possible that he was. I know there's angles where you think you can see green. There's also angles where it looks like the heel is on white, okay? Yep. Angles can deceive.
Yes, sir.
But there's absolutely no way that there was indisputable evidence to overturn whatever the call was on the field. They weren't going to overturn it and make it a touchdown. So you can't then overturn it and make it not a touchdown. That was unbelievable.
Trash.
What's the norm for a situation like that before we get into calls, Jay? What's the norm? If you can't clearly see it,
you go with the call on the field.
And period. What was the call on the field?
Touchdown Julio Jones.
Silly.
It was awful. It was inexcusably bad to overturn that based on – I mean, we saw all the different angles.
Yep.
And there were ones where you could make different cases, but it was way too close. And that's not the spirit of the rule anyway. If it's like, oh, I think there's one blade of grass in one direction or the other, is that what we're doing with instant replay? Mm-hmm. Is that making the game better? I would say no. I'm glad the Titans won so that that isn't the narrative. But it's still the narrative.
Yeah.
Because it was piss poor, and I'm not the guy that usually talks about officiating. I've actually gone out of my way. I remember the Packers game last year were like, hey, it wasn't the officiating, even though there were a couple of questionable calls in that game.
Yeah.
This was bad. And the Chris Carson play was almost as bad.
It was because so short.
It was like live in real time. You knew that was about a yard short. The woman there on the side is right there at the play. And it's just like, go ahead and keep the party going. First down. No way.
Oh.
Zero. It was amazing.
Now, again, I'm not going to be like you. I'm going to be like you and say, like, I don't want to, you know, say the refs are in on it. You know the guy that went to prison a while back, the NBA referee.
Yeah, Tim Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy. I listened to his interview.
Yeah, it's something else.
And now he ain't say he controlled the game, but they did used to have like moments where, okay, this team will get a little bit extra compared to another team.
I don't think they were even competent enough to do that.
No, I don't either.
See?
Tell you that. Let me ask you this, Mo, because you play for one of those kind of teams. And by those kind of teams, I mean the glitzier big teams. I do think that the officials get hard emoji eyes sometimes when you're dealing with Hall of Fame quarterbacks and all this other kind of stuff, and they don't even realize their own biases.
I'll say this. We were notorious for not getting calls compared to other quarterbacks. I saw it happen to my quarterback to where he didn't get calls, where if it was a Breeze, it was a Tom.
I also think he didn't get calls because he had the Shaq effect.
You feel me?
I think because Roethlisberger was bigger, he got the Cam Newton treatment.
But we've seen the difference, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah,
to answer your question, I've seen the difference, dog. Yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson's a walking gold jacket.
100%.
Seattle's one of those teams that the NFL really likes to feature.
They like going there themselves.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think the officials can get caught up in the moment, caught up in that stadium, all of that. That's not to excuse it, because that's absolutely not what should happen.
Exactly.
I also think it's real, and it's the thing that's happened in sports, especially team sports in arenas like that, for a long time. Now to the phone, 615-737-1045. Josh and Franklin is up first. Josh, what's up?
What's going on? I think I am only angry Titans fan, please, because – you know, I don't saying about first week, I don't games, because I know there's way you can tell the first week. But after the first week, I pretty well had the NFL figured out. So, I'm a Titans realist. My buddy, I have an Eagles fan and a Chiefs fan. They bet with their heart, not their head, you know. So, I already got a lead off them. I'm playing in all the fantasy skills and stuff like that. So, I got all of them right. The first game, the 1 o'clock games, for one, because the Saints lied to me too. So they looked horrible. And then on the back end, I won every game thanks to the Vikings missing that kick. I love that kicker. And then here comes the Titans. They're down. They're losing. I'm like, dude, I got this in the bag. And here comes the Titans. You know, I picked them on everything this week because I'm a realist. I watched them play last week. They told me everything I needed to know. That loosen-up defense, they're going to give up the most passing yards. Henry's got his contract, so, you know, from what I saw in week one, they're going to have the least amount of rushing yards. So I had it all figured out.
Your phone's killing me, Josh. I got to let you go.
I think you're in a bad area of Franklin.
Yeah, you're not in a good area of Franklin, yeah. Just so you know. I apologize, but it was starting to
– It was
my ears were starting to bleed a little bit there. Eric in Nashville. Eric, what's up?
Eric? Hey, guys. Before I get to the Titans game, I mean, when can you remember, with the exception of the Tampa Bay-Atlanta game, you had so many good late games in the Sunday night game.
That was great.
You had the Dallas game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ended on the last second field goal. You had Minnesota, which should have beaten Arizona,
yep,
missing the last second field goal. The ending for the Baltimore-Kansas City game, I thought Kansas City was going to win, but Lamar Jackson, all the injuries he took upon himself with his rushing and everything to get the win. Great Sunday night game. And then, of course, the Titans. I agree with you guys on the officiating. I guess I don't know why Vrabel didn't challenge on that short first down. On the Jumbotron, and I was surprised that the officials or somebody from the booth couldn't break down on that.
They ran up to make the next play because they knew the spot was bad. Seattle's wait, they gave us the first down? Yeah. Russ, go.
Yeah. And I also wanted to thank the Seattle kicker for missing the extra point. We finally get where the kicker screws up for them, because if that doesn't happen, we're probably having to go for two, or we don't even win this game.
Mm-hmm.
But Seattle was 12-0 in home openers over the last 12 years until then. And I also said, which I couldn't believe, we had lost, like, I guess it was the last 62 games where we were 14 points or more down or whatever it was in the fourth quarter. And it was the first time we won a game like that since 2006. 15 years. I could not believe that. Go Titans, guys. Y'all take care and have a good day.
Appreciate it, Eric. Look, the afternoon slate was money.
Yeah.
Absolute money.
Yeah.
And then the Sunday night game, like, the Emmys was a horrible television show.
See it.
Absolutely atrocious. That said, Ted Lasso won a bunch of awards.
Rightfully
Hacks so. Won a bunch of awards. Both of those well-deserved, and The Crown dominated in drama. But the show itself was terrible. But at least it gave me something to flip to that was on the next station up.
Mm-hmm.
And about half the time I was able to see an award or so between a game. But the game was great. But yeah, it was an all-time great afternoon slate. A lot of times those afternoon slates aren't that good.
Yeah.
All those games are good. Dallas and the Chargers was a good football game.
Mm-hmm.
That Minnesota-Arizona game was wild. And you had Gus Johnson and Aqib Talib on the call, and I thought they were great.
Yeah.
They were really, really good. And I think Talib's really, really fun in the booth.
When he fumbles his words, it's actually still good. I'm like, okay, Talib, like, I get it. It's you. It's almost like if Marshawn was doing it. Like, you want to hear it almost, man. That was good on Talib, man.
Leon is in an airport in Seattle. I bet he's feeling pretty good. Leon, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm just over here in the Seattle airport, the two-tone fet, you know, myself, my buddy Mark from Tennessee Titans fans in San Antonio, getting ready to go on this Victory Monday. You already know.
Yes, sir. That's early over there, too.
Very early. But, you know, the Seahawk tears already dried up, so it was an easy ride here.
How was it yesterday in the stadium?
Oh, it was good. It was actually, truth be told, I was kind of shocked by how cool the Seahawks fans were. They were pretty cool. And, you know, I thought it was going to be a problem at first, but no, they were awesome. They were great fans, great stadium, great atmosphere. Probably one of my favorite stadiums that I've been to so far.
And you go out of there with a victory, so yeah, you feel pretty good about
that's
that.
Big. That's a great trip to take right there.
Yeah, it is.
I saw some of the Titans personnel and media tweeting out pictures. I saw Buck posted his a few times. It was awesome, man, seeing the environment, which is why I said Seattle's a place that you want to go visit, especially if you get a dub on the road, too. Good. Titans travel well, man.
No, they certainly did, and that place was loud, but it was really good. It was a great environment, and to come out of there with a win, you feel really good about yourself. Billy is next on the line. Billy, what's up?
What's up, Billy?
Morning, fam. How are y'all?
Morning, fam. We're good. Reaction Monday.
I hear you. I'm choosing violence this morning, guys. I got to do it.
Uh-oh.
I saw that weak video of Taylor Lewan before the game, man. That was weak.
You okay? You not believing it?
No, sir. Wow. Do not believe it.
Okay, Billy.
Wow. I knew that was going to be a little bit of the narrative, Jay, when we saw it all also.
Again, and we said this before.
To Billy's point.
I've said before, Taylor Lewan has created a character that's put himself in a box he can never get out of. If he talks, people don't like it. If he doesn't talk, people are like, oh, so now you're going to get quiet?
Yeah.
That's become the problem. Is it's more of a show than it is go.
And you know,
at this point,
you know what doesn't help? Winning without. Winning on the road without.
If you want me to get real petty, they've gotten used to winning without Taylor Lewan on the field. They made the playoffs for the most part without him on the field last year.
2,000 yards?
Yeah. Exactly.
We'll put a pin on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they don't need him.
Yeah.
I am saying that they are used to not having him available.
And this crowd is barking a lot louder about that.
They're starting to see it. John in the Burrows next, John. What's up, John?
What's up, y'all? Well, I went 2 for 3 this weekend. Memphis won in wild fashion. The Titans won in wild fashion, and the Saints lost. But I noticed something this week that the Titans had that they didn't have in week one, and it was a mentality of grab your lunch pail and go to work. Week one, they were just a bunch of overpaid crybabies. Week two, they were men on the field, and I want to know, Ramon, is that something that you may have experienced after a loss like that in your career? Is that something that maybe you guys put into action the next week? I know that's kind of a mentality up in Pittsburgh as is. So.
Yeah. No, great question. That's the proper thing to do. That's why when we had the biggest conversation last week about people responding for social media. There's no need. Because we're hearing right now from everybody that's calling in, that was the proper response.
Yeah, of course it was.
Was to do it on the field.
Yes.
Don't tell me.
Yes.
You about to punch me. Like, no, just do it. You feel me? Like, not punch me, but you know what I'm saying? Like, don't tell everybody what you need and should do.
Look, guys, John Wick didn't have to talk.
No.
John Wick let the action do the talking for him. And then everybody else was like, hey, man, that dude is not to be messed with. They will talk about you if you do your job well.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out there and advertise it. You don't have to do it. Literally, Bobby Wagner, who is a walking gold jacket.
Say that.
That
yes,
dude
sir.
Is preposterous.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely preposterous. Bobby Wagner, I don't really ever see him say all that much. He's just a quiet assassin.
A Utah State.
Yeah.
You feel me? One offer, really. Like, walking 6-time All-Pro. Guys that make the Hall of Fame, usually 3 is good enough.
Yeah.
He's doubled that.
How about Two-Tone Fett is also in the airport in Seattle. What's
hey,
up, Fett?
Two-Tone, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Probably about as good as you are.
Oh, man. I'm up here with my boy Mark and Leon waiting in line at the Seattle airport with our Victory Monday T-shirts. Walking like Conor McGregor, you know, and everyone giving us all these looks, but excited, man. Headed home, plan to be in Nissan on Sunday and go up on those ponies some more.
There it is.
There it is.
Sets the tone for next week. It does do that.
Now, here's the thing, okay? Just as you can beat anybody, you can lose to anybody. Mm-hmm. This team's proven that. In the Vrabel era and in the eras before it, mm-hmm. you can have impressive victories, and this team has done that, especially under Vrabel. They have won games where you're like, how in the world did you win that game? And then they found a way to lay an egg afterwards.
Yeah.
The key is in stringing victories together and not dropping division games.
Yeah.
This one Sunday means a whole lot. The good news is I do think this team is aware of that. Seth in College Grove next. Seth, what's up?
What's up, Seth?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I really appreciate you taking my call. I wanted to mention somebody that I thought really did a great job and make a shout-out to them, and that's Michael Pruitt. I think he came in there, and at the really a pivotal moment in the game, he made some catches that we needed, and really I think he brought the energy that the Titans needed at the right time. So I just wanted to mention his name and see what you guys thought about him. Thanks.
Yep.
Well, he had 3 targets and 3 catches for 45 yards. Things were good when he was out there. He played hard. He got 1 bad penalty.
Yeah, he did.
That was that. That you got to let that one. You got to not do that.
You know why it ain't as bad this morning?
Because he won.
Thank you, good buddy.
Because he won.
Yeah.
But there was somebody that said Michael Pruitt would be a Titan the second the 49ers let him go, and should be because he understood the system already.
Aloysius Martin.
Yeah, I'll accept a little bit of credit and say I did think he would end up on this team.
You get a $2 Starbucks card for that.
Yeah, exactly. Appreciate that. I mean, look, you didn't have Firkser yesterday, so you're rolling out there with Pruitt and Swaim and Tommy Hudson. Tommy Hudson. I said his name.
Yeah. Wasn't what you used to. We'll get more into it. Yeah. I wrote it down and put a pin in it right now.
Put a pivot in it.
Put a pin.
How about that?
Put a pivot in it.
Put a pivot in it. 615-737-1045. That's telephone number. 615-737-1045. I see Cousin Caden. I see Adam. I see David and Laverne. All sorts of folks that want to chat. You can jump in. Today is Reaction Monday, giving you your first opportunity to talk about that win now that you've had time to sleep on it. It feels a lot better this Monday than it did last Monday. And we told you if this happened, that this would happen, like that everybody would be here thinking differently about the Titans. It's a week-to-week league. Talk to everybody about that. Yeah, there are some 2-0 teams. They're not going undefeated either. Remember, what did the Chiefs say all offseason? We're going for an undefeated record this year.
Uh-oh.
They made it a week.
Miami Dolphins said, hey, hold my beer.
Yeah, Mercury Morris is celebrating already, man. Because nobody else is going undefeated. 615-737-1045. Jump on in. Plenty of room for you. We'll be right back. J Mart and Ramon here on 104.5 The Zone.
Seattle showing all-out blitz. Here they come. Give Henry on the right side. Look, room cuts back to the left. To the 10. To the 5. Henry turns it up. Runs into Diggs, runs into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans!
That was Derrick Henry's first touchdown from Titans Radio. You heard it right here on 104.5 Zone. Titans went 33-30 over the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. They were 52-0 with a 15-point lead at home. Now they're 52-1. And the Titans are the one in 52-1. So good on them. An important win just because, again, they played in a way where you could have easily said the officials didn't help. You also could have said there were a couple of plays here and there, but outside of that, you liked a lot of what you saw, but you could have pinpointed the mistakes that were made that could cost you that game. Mm-hmm. You could still pinpoint them, but now you can pinpoint them with a W attached to them, and that makes you feel better as a Titans fan. We are proudly here, J. Martin Ramon, courtesy of All Four Seasons Garage Doors. AllFourSeasonsGarages.com/Nashville are good friends and partners over there. Get your garage door game stepped up right now. 150 years combined residential and commercial experience. 615-737-1045. Carl is in the borough. He's next. Carl, go ahead.
Carl?
Hey. So a couple of notes that I saw from yesterday's game was we gave them 21 points. One, Elijah Molden playing the Lockett on his TD reception. Two, at the end of the half, we just basically gave them the whole entire field. We played such soft coverage, they went down the field in 20 seconds to score a touchdown. And three, I don't know if it was Fulton or who, I don't know if it was cover two or cover three, when they scored that last touchdown on busted coverage. So we gave them spot on 21. Now, I'm glad they won. But also, you know, it's really good Derrick Henry balled out. But my third point, I guess you could say, is when Taylor Lewan got hurt and didn't play, was that better for us or we just adapted and overcame? Because we didn't have as much pressure on the QB as we did previously. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Right. About the Taylor Lewan thing. One, I don't want to just crap on him. If y'all want your opinions on him, that's fine. We'll take him all day long because I do believe the season is long. At some point, he may be called on again. To that point about yesterday, I tweeted out, I said, like, kudos to the guys that came in that hostile environment. It wasn't much that they did to him that hurt in a long way, in a long time of this game. Sambrelo, Brewer, even Ben Jones sticking out the way he did, they did well yesterday considering all things that were up against them. However, it's looked at with Luan being in or out, it's just the league. These dudes took advantage of their opportunities. Again, Sambrelo, hats off to you. Playing in that environment, not knowing what the situation would be like, the crowd, I'm sure you prepared for it, but to have a starter go out in pregame warm-up, I'm not sure how many times I've seen it actually happen. Now, we've had a starter who's like, man, if I can go, I can go. So mentally, I'm preparing myself for if I am going to be the starter. I'm sure Taylor Lewan went out of that game as the guy because he told everybody, I'm going to be better next week.
And there's no question all week. He was just like, how can I fix this? Because he didn't want to have another bad performance.
No.
I feared that he was going to. I feared that he might, overcorrect, have a couple bad penalties or play a little bit over the edge or whatever's going on. But he didn't even get a chance to change the narrative because he gets injured in warmups. If you watch the video.
Yeah.
It's an easy video for the hot take artist to just immediately be like, what is this garbage?
Yeah.
It was unfortunate.
I can tell myself, oh, he faking it. He don't want to play in Seattle.
That's what I'm saying. You can tell yourself that. I'm not saying that's what happened.
No,
can tell yourself that, which is just about as bad. AB in Antioch. AB, what's up?
What's up, AB?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about how they did a really good job of neutralizing Jamal Adams. I feel like it was a big story going into it. I think that A.J. Brown, even though he didn't catch, he dropped a bunch of balls,
he didn't
slack in the blocking game. He was nose-to-nose with Jamal Adams the whole game, and it was very impressive. So that's the main thing I saw and I really liked about yesterday's game.
Yeah, it was some good points, man. Like I said, that's not an easy place to play it. And I think if you heard the TV or the radio from Titans Radio, it was loud.
Well, the sideline reporter, you couldn't hear it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally could not hear her at all. Cousin Caden. What's up, Caden?
What's up, Caden?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now we've had a chance to sleep on the game. I want to try and help us wake up.
Sounds good.
So let's do this. Put us in adversity. Put our backs against the wall. Make us put our heel on the edge of the cliff. What are Titans going to do? King Henry's going to show why he's the king. Michael Pruitt's going to make those key catches. He's going to get into your defender's head and make him make stupid, silly mistakes. And Christian Fulton, going to put DK on Fulton Island. And what are the Titans going to do? They're going to pull out that win. Best thing about it, Texans, Jags, lost. And the whiny, whiny ponies, 0-2. You hear that, Zach Bunch? They're 0-2. And the terms of Taylor Lewan, Nashville needs a stepdad. Thank you.
Oh, hey.
You saw what I texted yesterday about the dad comment about Taylor Lewan?
Yeah.
I said, Taylor Lewan is dad like Fresh Prince's dad.
Like Fresh Prince's dad.
Just turn around. He's not there anymore. Why don't he want me, man? I was like, hey, Caden, are you trying to rhyme? I was waiting to see if we're cannons to the left of them. Cannons to the right of them.
That's the poem I want to hear.
Adam in Durham. Adam, what's up?
What's up, Adam?
Hey, good morning, boys. Good morning. Got a little extra pep in our step this morning on our morning walk here. But like Clifford Harris said on T.I. versus T.I.P.,
yeah.
King back, son. The King back is fans. King back. People are looking at me like I'm a little crazy right now because I'm talking on my phone, walking with the dog.
Sir, this is Wendy's.
Man, I'm wearing my Titans gear. You know, I'm in a college basketball town over here in Durham, North Carolina, so they don't know about this. But my question is on the safety. Does the forward progress ruling take precedence with replay over a potential scoring play. And I'll hang on the phone and listen.
Sure. Moan?
What was that again? He said, was it what?
You really think I'll be listening to you?
I was tweeting out his quote right there, Jay.
Well, stop doing that.
You really think I'll be listening to you?
Adam.
Repeat that again.
On the replay.
Yeah.
All scoring plays are reviewable. And that's a potential scoring play. So
yes.
Does the forward progress ruling and call take precedence
yes.
over a potential scoring
yes.
play
it
when
does.
It comes to review?
Yes, yeah, it does.
It does, Adam.
It does, 100%.
For better or worse, it does.
I know, and it sucks because that wasn't right.
No, that should have been it. That should have been ball game.
Thanks for tuning in, Ramon.
615-737-1045. 737-1045. 1 hour down. 3 more to go. I see Cuzzo Mike. I see others on the line. We'll get to you if you haven't yet. 615-737-1045. Hour 2 after the top of the hour. Headlines on a Victory Monday on 104.5 The Zone.